You're listening to Radio DMG.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Will Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and today we have, we have our other Japanese guest interview from NondeskCon 2014. Gotta get all that NDK stuff out of the way, because NDK 2015 is coming up, and we have to make room for more content. Not gonna really give a lot of, actually, there is some stuff that was kind of bugging me. This is going to be the first year in which NDK will be at a new hotel. They're going to be locked into this hotel for a number of years, and it'll be interesting to see how that works out for, like, space, getting to from place to place. It'll be interesting to see how all that turns out. Next year is going to be really kind of interesting for conventions. I mean, we have Denver Comic Con, NondeskCon, Colorado Anime Fest, Mile High Con, Starfest, Mall Con, Rocky Mountain Con, Dink, Sakoshi Con, Running of the Leaves, let's see, what else is there? Comic Fest, Starfest, I think we mentioned that already, right? Just, there is so many things that are happening next year. It's ridiculous. And then there's pictures and stuff like there's just too much to go through. It's going to be great, actually. 2016 should be really interesting in terms of our coverage. Also, hopefully, by then, you'll all be supporting me with your monies on our Patreon, which, by the time you hear this episode, should already have launched. And I hope that you'll be so kind as to throw your hard-earned money at us, because I like it when people throw money at me. Yes, not coins, mind you, but dollars, like wad up dollar bills or hundreds, wad up those hundreds into like, wrap a rubber band around your hundreds and throw it at me and be like, here, take some money, money fat, yeah, please, throw money at me, I like that, yeah. Anywho, let's get back to what our content is today, and it's the second interview that we did with a Japanese guest with the translator at NondeskCon 2014. So enjoy it. Stick around. Cue the music. Welcome back to Area DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here at NondeskCon 2014 with Hiroyuki Hashimoto. Before we get started, or rather, for the first question, a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with who you are and what you do. So, who are you and what do you do?
ご存知ない方も多いと思うので、ちょっと橋本さんにご紹介、ご自身のご紹介を。あ、自分の、うん。まあ、ほとんどのこと、方が知らないと思うんですけど、まあ、自分はその、20年前にアニメ業界に入って、まあ、その、絵が描きたい、アニメーターになりたいって思って入ったんですけど、まあ、そこからしばらくして、いろんな職業がアニメの中でもあることがあって、で、演出っていう、その、なんていうかいいんですかね。その演技をつけたりとか、そっちの方が面白いな、脚本を書いたりとか、そっちの方が面白いかなと思って、で、途中から、5年ぐらい前ですかね、6年前から、そっちの方に入って、で、今は、すべてそっちの方にシフトさせてもらってるという感じですかね。そんなもんでわかるんですか？それとももうちょっと作品名言った方がいいですか？作品名で、その演出になってからは、エンジェルビーツ、アルペジオ、で、デビルサバイバー2と。で、今回初監督の、 ご注文はお先ですかっていうのをやりました。
I've been involved in the animation industry for about 20 years now, and as I entered the industry, I found out about there's various jobs other than animators. So I started showing interest in being a unit director and writing scripts. So about 6 years before now, I started getting involved as unit director in Angel Beats, Blue Steel Arpeggio, and Double Survivor 2. And I directed the Gochumo Osagi Deska, is the Order of Rabbit.
In the 20 years that you've been working in the animation industry, how do you feel that the animation industry in Japan has grown, or in what ways it has shrunk or changed over those 20 years?
20年間アニメ業界におられるということなんですが、橋本さん20年間の中でアニメ業界ってどのように変化されてますか？まあ、小さくなったのか大きくなったのか。
そうですね。まあ昔に比べて結構商売的な感じになりましたね。昔はアニメってただ楽しい、そのおもちゃを売るとかそういう目的があったんですけど、今はそれよりももうちょっと細かくなって、そのアニメの DVD の売り上げだったり、そのまあ逆にそのアニメから発生してこういうイベントがどんどんできて、そのキャラクター商品グッズ展開がさらに大きくなった感じはありますね。昔はアニメ見てる人って、まあ、日本ではちょっとアニメ漫画見てる人っていうのは、なんていうかな、ちょっと、下に見られるって言ったら変な話ですけど、子供が見るものっていう感じだったんですけど、今はもう大人が見るものでも大丈夫みたいな感じになったので、だいぶそのエンターテインメントとして違うものになったかなと思います。
Before, anime used to be something, 20 years ago, anime used to be something more fun. It didn't really have to be strictly business. Like the business part was like to make animes to sell toys. But nowadays, it became more business-like, and that it became more about anime events, character goods, and so it became much more revenue-based. On the things that anime emerged from anime, and that and before the audience who watched anime were socially looked down upon because anime was supposed to be something that killed children watched, but now it's accepted that even the adults can watch it.
How has the production being more based on the revenue and character goods, how has the business side changed the industry? Would you say it's changed it for the better or for the worse with trends like moe kind of animation and so forth becoming the norm? How do you feel that the revenue-centered development of modern animation has affected it both negatively and positively?
そのアニメがもっとビジネス寄りになったことによって、生じたそのアニメ自身のそのメリットとデメリットっていうのは
難しい
と思われますか、ね。まあその萌え寄りになったとかキャラクターグッズとかそういうところあると思うんですけど。
そうですね。なんか売らなきゃいけないっていうことが主体になっちゃったので、どうしてもみんなが欲しいものに固まっちゃうので、ちょっと昔はもっとジャンルが幅広かったのが少し狭くなったかなという感じはしますね。で、そうするとやっぱりオリジナルを作るよりももともと原作があるものをアニメ化するっていう方が多くなったかなと。まあなんかある意味数字が読みやすくなったものが多くなっちゃって、 もう次は、まあ、みんなの中で次はこれがアニメ化されるだろうというのは、まあ、分かってきたところはありますね。でオリジナルのアニメがちょっと減ったので、今後はちょっとオリジナルのアニメが増える方向になればいいなと個人的には思います。
Since all the anime that's being made is expected to sell or have to sell, so there's before there was various genres, but since it has to be sold, it has to be marketed to things that has to be sold. There's less genres because it's based on everyone's demands.But because of that, so there's less originals nowadays, and there's more titles based on existing titles. But personally, I want to see more original animes.
In some of the shows that you've worked on, there are there may be a few issues with content, or rather violent or violent content in these shows. How do you feel the that Japan has how do you feel Japan has developed in the last 20 years in regards to violence in media? Has it become more restrictive or less restrictive?
その橋本さんの書かれてる作品の中でやっぱり暴力表現、残酷表現といったものがあると思うんですが、はい、その20年間の中でそういった表現が規制されたりだとか変化してきたっていうような思いはありますか？
そんなに言うほどないかなっていう感じでは個人的には思いますけど、その何だろうな、性的表現は多くなった気がします。
For violence, there I don't really feel there much really difference any restrictions or changes in the description of violence. But I believe that there's been much more sexual description in the recent development.
Do you feel that this is a this is because the industry is getting larger, or because of the refinement of genre in the industry?
それっていうのは業界がやっぱりこうジャンル化がしてきたっていうことなんですか、それとも業界がでかくなってきてるっていう。
まあ業界が大きくなってこういう、まあ、イベントがあってで、まあ、コスプレする人がいて、アニメの中のキャラクターが今までは画面の中しかいなかったものが、まあ、3D でその3次元的にいるわけですよね。でそうするとやっぱりその今まで画面の中に好きだったものが外に出ているっていう感じで、そういうそのなんていうのかな、ちょっとその画面から飛び出してる感じがあるとは思うんですよね。でその好きなキャラクターも今は会える感じになってるんじゃないかなと、そこでそういう表現が生まれてきたんじゃないかなという感じがします。
It could be because that industry is getting bigger, and it's also that there's because of that there's these kind of events like NandesCon, and there's people that's cosplaying thereAnd this sort of has an effect, I believe, that it gives people a perception that what they used to see just in the screen in the two-dimensional world, they start seeing in three-dimensional world. They actually meet the characters in some way that they like. And I think that might be contributing to the reason that there's more sexual content.
What do you think of NandesCon 2014 so far? This convention.
NandesCon 2014, まあ今回滞在されても2日目ですが、今のところいかがですか？
いやすごいなんか楽しいですね。なんかなんていうのか、日本の中でアニメを作っていて、で日本でもなかなかアニメファンと会う機会ってそんな少ないので、それがこういう海外の人たちがこんなにも日本のアニメを好きだと を感じられたので、すごい良かったですね。
When I'm in Japan, when we're in Japan, there's not too many opportunities to see anime fans. But like coming out all the way out outside of Japan and seeing that there's this much anime fans, it's a really good experience for me. The event's really fun.
Going back to Japan in particular, there has been a bit of a drive to blame anime and video game culture in Japan for the rise of the meat culture or hikikomoris. How do you feel? Do you feel that animation and video game culture have contributed to the rise in that particular lifestyle?
まあ、日本では最近ニートだとか引きこもりだとかいう社会問題になってますが、
はい、
あの橋本さんはそれに対してやっぱりその問題に対してアニメやゲームなどが加担してると思われますか？
まあアニメやゲームだけではないと思うんですよね。なんか昔に比べて自分が20年前はほとんどインターネットもなかった。今はもうインターネットが当たり前の時代になっちゃって、で、まあ、通信販売、まあ、ネットがあることによってもう家から出なくても買い物ができちゃうっていう、まあ、そういう影響が大きいのかなっていう気はしますけど、あんまりアニメやゲームは関係ないんじゃないかなっていう気がしますね。
Of course, anime and game could be a fact, one of the factors.But I think that because that, when I was young, that there was no internet. So, but now there's internet, and through the internet, you could use telemarket or like e-market to purchase all these things. So I think that anime and game, it doesn't really heavily affect that kind of problems.
Going back to the influence of the internet, how do you feel that...The availability of animation tools online, or the availability of animation online over the internet, has affected the anime industry in recent years.
その、まあ、インターネットの話になりますが、アニメが、まあ、今はアニメーションのツールだとか、そのアニメーション視聴の方法だとか、アニメのコンテンツってネットに今あるじゃないですか。それが業界に対してどのような影響を与えたと思われますか？
まあそれはなんかまあメリットとデメリットがあって、まあメリットとしてはやっぱりいろんなやってない放送地域でも見れる、その海外でも同じタイム時間が変わらず見れるっていうのは、やっぱり今こういうふうにイベントがあっても日本でしかやってなかったものが、まあ、それを見て好きになってくれる人もいると、まあ、そういう意味で逆に言うとその海外版が出回ったりとかそういうふうのもあって、まあ、その辺はデメリットかなというところもありますね。
There's always benefits and disbenefits in that. There's of course the benefit is that there's simulcast and you can see inJapan and abroad at the same time, but at the same time, it could be copy.
Piracy. As the animation market expands worldwide, we've seen an emergence of other markets, including Korean animation and dramas, TV dramas. How do you feel?How do you feel the Japanese market can compete with these new competitors from, say, Korea, Asia, other parts of Asia, and the U.S.? How do you feel the Japanese industry must grow and change to directly face competitors abroad?
まあ、その日本の市場が大きくなる、まあ、世界に含めて市場が大きくなるにつれて、まあ、韓国のアニメーションだと韓国のドラマが台頭してきてますが、日本のアニメーションはそのやっぱりそういったライバルが出現していた時にどういったことをして生き延びなければならないと思いますか？
なんか日本のアニメってライバルがいてどうこうとかそんなに考えて作ってないような気がするんですよね。で、そのやっぱりなんていうかな、こう好きだから作ってるとかそういう方が大きいので、多分どんなに他のところの国のアニメが出てきてもあんまり変わらないような気がしますね。
I think that Japanese animations are mainly made how so that they're not really keeping in mind of other competitions. They're being made because they just like making. So I think that even no matter what, Japanese animation would really change from that.
なんか逆にゲームの方はどっちかというとそういう方向に進んでる、その海外のゲームが出てきて海外ので売っていかなきゃいけないっていう、海外の方に合わせて売ってきて、でそれにつられてどうしても日本のゲームがちょっと弱くなってきちゃってるのがあって、アニメも同じことをやっちゃうと多分同じことになっちゃうかもしれないので、もうそのまま突き進むしかないかなっていう感じに思います。
In regards to games, game industry is that they've been trying to really focus on the foreign markets, and they've been trying to stay with, like, become further away from Japanese games. So, and because of that, now the Japanese game industry is actually taking a hit. So I think that anime shouldn't really take the same path as the game. So I think it should just strive its own way.
まあ、ゲームがそうなってるのはやっぱり一本作るのに、一作品作るのにお金が莫大な金がかかって、アニメだとまあそこまでがじゃないので、まあ、そういう意味では小回りが利くので、いろいろやり方はあるかなという感じですね。
To make a single game it costs so much money, but when you're making anime it doesn't cost as much as a big budget game. So I think that, I mean, it doesn't have to be the same thing.
Before we goIs there any special messages that you would like to tell your fans or anything that you would like to promote?
まあ、今日のインタビューを終わらせる前に、監督の方からファンへメッセージ、まあ、リスナーへのメッセージっていうのがありました。
そうですね、なんかこうこんなに遠く離れた地で日本のアニメを応援してくれて本当にありがとうございますっていう感じで、まあこれから先日本のアニメがどうなるのか自分でもわからないです。どういう変化をしていくのか、その先を読んだところで全然違うものになるかもしれないですけど、まあ、それでも楽しいものを提供していこうというのは変わらないと思うので、そこでなんかいろんなふうに皆さんと一緒に楽しんでいければいいかなと思いますので、ぜひこれからも日本のアニメを応援してもらえればありがたいです。
Even I said all these things, to be honest, I mean, there's no really way to really know what path that Japanese animation would take from here. But, of course, people who are involved in it are making so that we're trying to provide something fun. So I wish that if that enjoyment could reach to you guys.
And anything you'd like to promote?
で、何か告知などありますか？
告知告知はあれですね、やっぱご注文先ですかっていうのが、まあ、なかなかそのかわいい萌えっていうのが、そのアメリカとかでどれぐらいこうシェアを占めてるのかわからないですけど、まあそのできればちょっと見てもらえると嬉しいなというのがありますね。
I'm not sure how much people like かわいい or 萌えBut, ご注文はウサギですか is order a rabbit. I wish if people could give it a try, it would be great.
Is that available on simulcast? Like Crunchyroll or any of those?
同時配信でそちら配信されているんでしょうか？
多分配信されているんじゃないかなと思うんですよね。なので、なんか機会があればぜひ見てもらえると嬉しいかなと。
I think it is available on Crunchyroll, so if people could take a look at it, it would be great.
Excellent. Thank you very much for this interview. I'm Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here with...
Hiroyuki Hashimoto.
What? Hiroyuki Hashimoto. pronunciation. But yes, thank you very much. This has been Phil Bussey over here at NondeskCon 2014 for Area DMG, and good night. Well, that certainly was not the call sign I'm supposed to say at the end of each interview. Okay, then. That's the issue, really, when you think about it. All the time, I'm like, hey, I'm Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, or I'm Philip Wesley, the Mile High Hustler, for Area DMG, Radio DMG, DMG Ice, and that can be a little bit... sometimes, you know, it's when it's like, hey... I'm a broadcast professional here, but sometimes I can make a little mistake here and there. It's what we do. You don't get to be a broadcast professional without making a few mistakes, which occasionally we do. But hey, we've, how many interviews have we put out? Oh my gosh, we have hundreds of episodes under our belt here. We have literally tons of interviews. Well, not literally tons. I mean, if I were to add up the weight of most of these people, probably a literal ton. I mean, we've got a couple bands in here. We have people in here. I mean, if we added up the weight of everybody that... You know, I don't know where I'm going with that tangent. I just don't know where I'm going with that. Anywho, I hope that you enjoyed that interview. It was fun to do. I like working with translators on these because those are always fun because there are some translators. You can check and see what people do. A good translator has like a pen and paper down and they'll take down notes of what you're saying. And they'll write like keywords because they're reorganizing these. You see, in English... The English language, or rather the American language, not so much the English language, the American language is more direct. Like, I would say, the cat went to the ball. Or, I don't know, the cat attacked the ball. But in Japanese, you would be, you have what they call lookbacks, where you have a subject and you have a word that tells you, or an action that tells you that this goes there. You've got... it's like the cat attacks the ball would be the ball is attacked by the cat, subject is cat. There's a thing that comes in and tells you what the subject of the sentence is at the end of the sentence. It's unique. The American language is a little difficult for people to learn because there are so many different variations of the same word. For example, I could say, I mean, there are some languages where adjectives don't really exist for the most part. It's really fun. I like dealing with translators because I try and space my questions a little bit so that they're easier to translate. There's that back and forth. And I love it, actually. I think it's kind of funny. You know the movie Lost in Translation? There's a part in there where the Japanese director is like, what does she know? He's just rattling off in... he's speaking a lot fluently in Japanese in a really proper tone. And it goes on for a moment, like quite a long time. And then the translator translates it as, no. that's because, like some languages, there's different dialects, like in English, where we have slang. Some dialects have that, and then it's so weird. Translation work is a lot of fun. I don't like doing it myself because I'm no good at it. I mean, I can read certain languages and understand what's kind of being said, or I can keep up with some of what's being said, but I'd rather leave translation work to the professionals. And speaking of professionals, well, I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High... Oh, wait, before we get into that, I have to go ahead and tell you You should follow us on Radio DMG, Area DMG, DMGS.com, SPAurora.com, AnimationIsArt.com, all sorts of .coms. And here's what you should do. Go to our Facebook. Go to our Twitter. Go to our Pinterest. We're trying to decide what to do with some of the other social media things. Go to the YouTube. That's AreaDMG.com. Subscribe to all of that stuff. Hit like, upvote, up thumbs up, all that stuff. We give away things sometimes. We do all sorts of things. Support our Patreon. Support us with your time, your clicks, your money. And, just tell people about us. Spread the gospel of Radio DMG with everyone you know. Go door to door, knock on their door and be like, "Hello, would you like to know the gospel of Radio DMG? It is our Lord and Savior, Philip Wesley, the man high mouth." No, actually don't do that. That's blasphemous. But yeah, that's that. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you are now caught up. To take a look at what my tally is currently. So let's see. From 1997 on, DMG Ice, or rather myself and our staff and contributors, have put out, with Radio DMG for example, an estimated 100 hours of audio content. Actually, I'm looking at iTunes, and it's definitely over 100 hours of audio content. But yeah, this is not including guest appearances on other shows. This is not including stuff we cut, or things we record and we never put up. But yeah, over an estimated 100 hours of audio time. Which, compared to some major broadcasters, isn't that much. But hey, you know, we do what we do. And we like what we do. And we keep doing what we do. Yeah. Over 48,000 pictures. An estimated over 50 million plus words and articles and other stuff. Actually, to be perfectly honest, I think that's actually, it's probably double that by and far. And an estimated over 50 hours of video content. We have a lot of stuff here at DMG Ice. Let's see, done about, on Radio DMG, we've done about 60 interviews, which isn't too bad. I guess that's okay. Maybe I can start putting that on a resume or something. But yeah, that's where we are on Radio DMG, DMG Ice, Area DMG, etc., etc. We've also run, I would say, several days worth of event content. That would be Street Pass Aurora, because for each of those, it has been from, like, let's see, from 10 p.m., 10 to 11, 11, 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2. Each of those is about 4 hours long. And, we've done days and days worth of that, too. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this, and I want to thank everyone for viewing it, for listening to it, for enjoying it, for downloading it. Because you know what? Everyone listening, everyone who stayed past the credits, you're awesome. And we love you. Everything about you. Even if you're not too kind toward us. We love it. Thank you. Thank you very much.